Hey guys, this is Scott McKay, and what you're about to experience is one of the most controversial episodes of The Chick Whisperer that I've ever done in 7 years of production. You're really going to enjoy this, and I want to let you know that the guy I'm having on the show as my co-host today, Joshua Rose, is actually one of the guests on my most recent program, Behind Closed Doors. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff related to sexuality, and if you want to find out more and really get a hold on your sex life and learn what it means to find a woman who is going to be right for you in that area, definitely check out the program at www.deservewhatyouwant.com/BCD. That's BCD for Behind Closed Doors. And now, make sure you're sitting down for this one and grab a cold one, too, because it's going to be not only shocking, but a lot of fun. Here we go.
You're listening to the world-famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hey, all right, here we are. This is Scott McKay from XMY Communications, and what we've got going on here for you today is episode number 63 of the world-famous Chick Whisperer podcast. Today, I've got for you a guest I've been wanting to have on the show for quite some time. He and I have been friends for several years now. He's from New York City, and his name is Joshua Rose. Josh, welcome.
Scott, thank you very much for having me, man. It's a blast to finally be able to do this with you.
Yeah, man. And we've been trying to get this going for a while. Here's the complication. I'm just going to throw this on the table for everybody out there. If you've been on my mailing list for some time, you know that I do not feel comfortable pitching to you guys any programs that feature porn stars teaching sex. I've always been sort of skeptical about the idea that it wasn't just thinly veiled porn that was being marketed to guys, kind of taking advantage of their desire to see things pornographically. And, you know, I think a lot of guys have a hard time suspending their disbelief that this is really just for entertainment purposes only and isn't going to teach them anything. I mean, when you get right down to it, do porn stars really know how to teach sex? And is it real valid information? There's another complication in that if I do anything pornographic over the service that distributes my emails to my list, I'm in danger of getting shut down. Some of our peers in this business have been shut down by this particular email autoresponder service because they've been pitching porn. And I just don't want to be seen in that light even professionally. So that all said, guys, what Josh Rose does is he runs a company called Pornstar Sex Life. My guess, my educated guess, is that you've seen his programs elsewhere. He does incredible sex video series, Fantasy Lover Formula, something called World's Best Head Version 2, and his latest that we'll talk about later is something called Squirting Orgasm on Command. And listen, Josh is a great guy. He and I have hung out together at Masterminds in Vegas and so forth. A normal guy. And he happens to have a great sex life, obviously. He really means well, gives good advice. And when you dig into these programs, you start seeing once and for all that there's really good stuff there. And the women who are teaching in his programs aren't just any garden variety porn girl who happens to show up on the scene and say, okay, I'm going to play with myself and call it sex education. They're women specifically selected because they've learned how to do sex right, and they want to impart that information to other people after, frankly, lots of experience. So that's the rationale for having Joshua on. Josh, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I'm very excited for this.
And you don't do a whole lot of interviews for men, so this is really, really good to have you on here because I think we're going to have some really good conversation that guys have never heard. But first, as is our custom around here, we have a voicemail we want to get to. Wait till you hear this. This comes from Mike in Cincinnati, Ohio. Let it roll.
Hey, man, this is Mike, and I just want to call and say I love the podcast. I've been listening for about 17 episodes now. I went all the way back and started at the beginning, and just wanted to say that I hope that I don't run out anytime soon. I know you get about 60-plus of them, and I'm really looking forward to getting through all of them. Hey, so here's my question. I am a married man who is a wife that is awesome, and she has totally given me an open hall pass, so to speak. I get to go out, meet women, and have a good time, and it's an agreed thing between us. But part of the problem I run into is I have a hard time lying, and I don't like to lie. I'd rather be honest with women. So my question to you guys, you and whoever your guest on the show is this week, is how do I go out, meet women, and have that relationship, even if it's one night or two nights or, you know, a couple of visits, and figure out a way to get past the marriage thing? I know it's a strange question, but it's not, I'm not the only guy in the world that does this. I know there's plenty of people in other open relationships. I think that's, you know, a way to go. But I'd just love to know, how do you think I can take that relationship that I want to have and do it in a way that's honest and forthright? Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. Well, obviously, this is a question we haven't dealt with on this show before, Josh. And I'll tell you, I think we basically should handle this in two different parts. The first part is to answer Mike's question as it was asked. But I'm sure both you and I have some other questions we'd like to ask him, and maybe some things to add to the discussion just for the sake of other listeners who are paying attention to this. I'll tell you, just to kick the ball here. Welcome to the reality of be careful what you ask for. I mean, here's a situation where I think every guy would be like, man, that must be amazing to have a wife who lets you just go out and have sex with as many other women as you want to. And yet now the reality is, okay, great. I've got this hall pass, as Mike calls it. Now, when I go and talk to a bunch of other women, they're like, wait a minute, big guy, you're married. I don't think so. At least that's what he's fearing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is something that most guys are just not even going to realize that they're walking into a hornet's nest, so to speak. If you walk up to a woman that you meet at a coffee shop, at a bar, or wherever you meet her, and you're not honest with her right off the bat, your chances of having anything happen just drop significantly. If you are honest and you say that you basically got this hall pass, she's going to look at that as you're saying, oh, great, I'm just a piece of meat for you. I get nothing out of it. You're just going to use me, have your fun, and then that's it. That's really putting her on the spot in an uncomfortable way. You know, in a way, it's no different than going on Facebook and finding some random girl and sending her a private message saying, you know, are you down to sleep over at my place tonight? You know, if you're going to go ahead and try to find somebody to sleep with, I would say the first places that I would go to are swingers communities and polyamorous communities. These are places that people set up. You can, you know, depending on what state you live in, there's different forums that you can find them. You might be able to find some place in your area just through Craigslist, doing quick Google search. And they are basically communities of regular people that have open relationships, that have polyamorous relationships, meaning you're going to be bringing in multiple partners. They are communities of people that are swingers, and everyone there knows exactly what the deal is. When they meet, whether it be once a month, once a week, whatever the schedule is, they understand that people there are looking for that. They, you know, are already in an emotionally strong relationship with their partner, and it's not about trying to coerce a person into bed. It's a completely different thing, and they're fully comfortable and safe with it. The other place you could look is somewhere like Ashley Madison or one of those other dating sites that caters to this, because honesty is the number one thing, and being open. That way nobody gets hurt at the end of it, and so you really need to find an area where you can meet women that this is an acceptable and welcome sort of behavior.
Yeah, several points you brought up there I want to go ahead and riff on. First of all, we're kind of hybridizing the two-part answer here. There is the existential situation, Mike, that you've got of what do you do to get the women you want and make this situation work for you? And then there's how do you handle that situation with a broader scope and maybe some suggestions that would make it work really well for both you and your wife. Relative to the first part of that, I agree 100% that you got to be honest. You can't just go around pulling women, doing pickup and saying, oh, by the way, after you finish with her, you know, sexually, I'm married, so we're not going to be doing this again, and let her deal with the shame and guilt on her own. Here's what I think. I think what you do is you definitely throw it on the table pretty early with the woman, but, you know, not necessarily, hi, my name is Mike and I'm married and I have a hall pass. Would you like to sleep with me? Not really that directly, but you create the attraction. And then you say to her, you know, I would like to spend some time with you. I think you're incredibly sexy. Here's what I've got going on. And I think you would be surprised that a lot of women will be like, all right, cool, I'm horny too. You know, especially nowadays and with the openness that a lot of women have, once they like you, once they're comfortable in your presence, once they find you masculine and they're horny, they'll be like, oh, this is kind of a little fun adventure. But on the other side of the coin, just when some guys out there who have a Murphy's Law kind of mindset are thinking to themselves, all these women, why do they throw themselves at married guys instead of going for those of us who are single and available and ready to have a relationship with them? And, you know, we could talk about all the reasons why that happens. I've written about it before. You know, it's the power, it's the control, it's the thrill of the game, you know, all of that stuff. Just when you think all those women do that, you get in a situation for real, like Mike's in, and you realize, hey, wait a minute, most of these women actually aren't interested in sleeping with me because I'm married. So Mike, bottom line, your dating pool is going to be smaller here because you're married. You're going to have to deal with that. That's literally the bed you've made. But I think if you're honest, it is the best way to go, because you're going to have a whole lot of hurt feelings in the future, and I do not ever advocate hurt feelings. Now, as Emily and I have talked about in the X and Y on the Fly podcast a couple years ago, I'm not necessarily going to say it's a bad idea for anybody and everybody to get into an open relationship. I think whatever works for couples is what works, but you got to make sure you're on the same page, and you got to make sure you know what's working for you. And here's where we're going with this. And Josh, I know you have something to say about
sure.
this. As far as the nature of your open relationship, Mike, you didn't give me a whole lot to work with. You said your wife's given you a hall pass. Does this mean you get to go out and screw as many women as you want, and it's like a don't ask, don't tell policy with her? Is she going out and having that same sexual freedom with other guys? Do you not want to know what the other one's doing? Because to me, that kind of sounds like you're building a huge framework for a rift to happen in your relationship sooner than later. I really liked your idea of going to someone who specializes in this sort of thing and can talk to you openly and without judgment about it and give you some BTDT on it.
Sure, sure. I mean, I really didn't get too much into that just yet. That was the next point, which is unless your wife has been in an open relationship before and you know the full ramifications, you have no idea just how psychologically damaging this is in the long term and how much of a tear this can put in your relationship. I don't know her age, her situation. You know, if she's going through menopause right now and has absolutely no sex drive and her brain is not producing the hormones that would ever make her want to have sex right now, she knows that you have these desires and needs. And maybe right now she's just saying, okay, you can go ahead and sleep with another woman because I physically can't. She does not necessarily want you doing that. She's doing it for you, and that's going to hurt her a lot when her hormone production level stabilizes and evens out and returns to normal. Or if there's something else going on in the relationship, it could absolutely crush her. I also don't know, you know, when you say a hall pass, usually that implies that you can do it so long as she doesn't know. Open relationship is usually both partners know. Is she doing this with another guy? Has she already possibly emotionally checked out of the relationship and found another man, and she's using this as a way to hopefully gradually get you to the same place? I have no idea, you know, what's going on in your relationship. Only you do. But if you are not prepared for what could come negatively after you actually have had sex with another woman, you have no idea of the storm that you're probably going to have to weather. And it might not be tomorrow. It could be 5 years from now. Women are very emotional and they bottle stuff up a lot of times till it starts to boil over. It could very well end your relationship if you're not prepared. So you absolutely, before you go ahead and do it, should go to a couples counselor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a goose and there's a gander here, clearly. If you don't like the thought of some other guy getting inside your wife, you may want to make sure that this is fully talked about, because you can't get the hall pass and not give her a hall pass. At some point, she's going to feel at least the freedom to be with another guy. And if you haven't given her that freedom and yet you have this freedom from her, then you don't have a relationship that's on equal footing with each other. And I agree with you, Joshua, that it's going to be ugly later. It can't not be, because you have a relationship with her and it's not built on a solid foundation of you trusting each other, of you knowing what each other's doing and having it be equal time. Now, if you're okay with other guys being with your wife, then do the swinger thing. because you have safe environments of people who have decided to live this lifestyle for themselves. Go see what that's like, explore it, and make sure that's for both of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can model your swinger relationship with your wife and with other people any way you want. I mean, there's soft swinging, you know, where you don't actually go all the way with other couples. You just sort of play with each other naked. There's different things that you can do. You can set boundaries for yourself, and then you will be probably very surprised by how well other people in the swinger community will respect those boundaries. I mean, it sort of has to be that way, or else the whole house of cards falls apart.
Absolutely. So, no matter how long a couple or an individual has been part of that community, at some point they were brand new to it, and they were uncomfortable, and they didn't know who rules. And the only way that they were able to explore this and find happiness in it was when the people around them made them feel comfortable and safe. So it's almost like a universally known thing that when you go into this situation, the people around you are going to try and take care of you. They're not going to pressure you to do anything you don't want to do, which is fantastic. You know, this is not something that I recommend most people try as a lifestyle. There's a very few long-term couples out there that I've even heard of that have been able to make it work. So if you're given a hall pass, after you've gone through counseling and you've talked about it, you worked it out, really use it very sparingly. When you go into a community where this is accepted and you feel comfortable and you're open to it and they're open to having sex with you, it's very easy to go overboard with it. You know, it's like putting salt on your grilled chicken. A little bit makes the chicken taste great, but too much and you could ruin the whole thing.
That is so for sure. Two things there. Earlier you mentioned the website ashleymadison.com. Mm-hmm. I think if you explain in your interface on Ashley Madison what you're about and why you're there, and you stick to women who are coming from that direction in their relationships also, then perhaps. But my whole problem with cheating is loaded weapons. You know, if you're screwing some other guy's wife and some other guy doesn't like that, you could have something violent potentially happen to you, and plus it would get really politically bad for you. And you don't want someone else's husband calling your wife and complaining about you and trying to ruin your relationship. And some people can really want vengeance, and they want you to pay when you've hurt them like this. So always remember that if you're dealing with a cheater, there is some other guy involved also who isn't going to like this. So
absolutely.
That would be my caution with Ashley.
And then the other thing is, you know, I don't know the state of your marriage. Only you do. Let's just pretend hypothetically that in a couple of years, you and your wife end up getting a divorce. If she's a vindictive person and she goes to her lawyer and says that you cheated on her and she tried to forgive you but just wasn't able to, right away the judge is going to give her half of everything you own. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be a lot of stuff really spelled out, and you really need to have very strict boundaries and guidelines.
Perhaps even in writing.
Yeah. You know, that's why another reason that going to a couple's counselor is a great idea. I mean, if you were going to lawyers and drawing up papers and legal stuff and you show that you went to a counselor and this is what you spoke about, you know, it can help save your ass in the long run. You know, we don't need to get into all the specific scenarios of what may hypothetically happen or not, because you can go on for hours about that. But you have to be more careful than you realize.
Yeah. And the other thing I would add is this whole idea of open relationships and living a non-standard relative to monogamy, I would say, lifestyle. And it is an alternative lifestyle no matter how you slice it, whether it's full-on swinging, whether you're going to swinging clubs, or whether you've got a hall pass, however you want to look at it, it's not one man, one woman. When you're going to deviate from that norm, fair or not, justifiably so or not, you're going to have to be ready for people to spread rumors about you, for people to take an interest in you, people to talk about it. You're going to have to know how to deal with family members. You're going to have to know how to deal with your own children knowing about it, and you're just not going to be able to keep it as much of a secret as you'd like. So this is not for people who have thin skin. You've got to know exactly what you're getting into, literally and figuratively, and you've got to know how it's going to affect your social life outside of sex. And actually, Joshua, that represents a plus one for going to someone who's an expert at this, whether you want to call them a counselor or a coach or whatever. Someone who specializes in this can help you sort all that out, so it's 2024 sight instead of some mess you got to clean up later.
Absolutely. I mean, this isn't as easy as just finding some chick at a bar, bringing her to some cheap rent-by-the-hour roadside motel and then moving on with your life. You might be able to get away with that once or twice if you're lucky, but it really does go a whole lot deeper than that, especially when, you know, something like a marriage can be on the line.
Absolutely. You got to go into this with the lights on. I'm personally not discounting that you can't go pick up women and have sex with them and have them be okay with that. But I'm telling you, like Joshua said, it's like the salt on the chicken analogy. You know, a little salt makes things taste better. But, you know, if you start pouring it on, it's going to get pretty distasteful pretty quickly. Yeah. So here's what we do, Joshua. When guys send us a really good voicemail like Mike in Cincinnati did, what we do is we reward them for that. And you have a brand new program called Squirting Orgasm on Command. And, you know, that might be kind of a useful tool to have in the toolbox for a guy like Mike. So tell him what he's about to get.
Sure. So Squirting Orgasm on Command is something that's been in the works for about a year now, and I'm very, very excited about it. Most women can have up to 8 different kinds of orgasms, depending on her body and how you stimulate it. And the absolute hands down most powerful of all of them is the squirting orgasm, because it's actually a combination of several kinds of orgasms all at once. It's the only kind that she externally ejaculates from, which is a sensation most women never feel. So I've worked with 2 of the absolute smartest and most talented women I've ever met in my life to create this program for you. First one is Lexi Love, who starred in over 600 adult films, was nominated for 7 AVN Awards, which is kind of like the Oscars in that world, 4 of which were for her work in squirting films. She is well known as the squirting queen, who's trained hundreds of women in the industry, and she was most noted for an appearance on Howard Stern, where she went to an OBGYN's office to prove that this was actually real on camera, and laid there on the little bed without anybody touching her, without her touching herself. She was able to contract her muscles enough to give herself a squirting orgasm live right there to prove that this is something that any woman can learn to do. The other woman I worked with is one of my favorite people on the planet. Her name is Alexa Ames. She's a registered nurse and basically knows that area of the female body more than most doctors. She's one of the most wild and educated and amazing women when it comes to this. And basically they break down absolutely everything you need to know, every technique, every muscle contraction, every minor thing you need to know in order to give your woman an incredible, mind-blowing squirting orgasm. If she's never had one before, doesn't know what it's like, doesn't know what she's getting into, we show you all the warm-up techniques to get her into it, get her in the mood, get her warmed up to the idea of it, have the amazing squirting orgasm, and then basically train her body to be able to have them easier and easier each time. So imagine the best sex you've ever had in your life, and you're able to give that to her every time you guys have sex, and it just keeps getting better each and every time. But Mike, because of the great voicemail that you sent in, I'm going to speak with Scott when we get off this interview, and I will get you set up with a free account for it.
Man, that sounds great. I'll tell you what, Joshua, you're already making a pretty strong case for the power of women who are adult film stars teaching this stuff. That was pretty convincing already. Guys, if you want to learn more about this, go ahead and take a look. It is www.thechickwhisperer.com/squirt, S-Q-U-I-R-T. That's going to be the link to go to find out the special deal that Joshua's got for you on Squirting Orgasm on Command. Go take a look at the website. Form your own judgment. That's what this podcast is all about. I'm not going to sit here and say yay or nay on your behalf. You go and you decide for yourself. Can these women teach me something about how to give women better orgasms? You decide yes, you get your hands on the program, because I'm telling you, Joshua and the women he selects to put these programs together with are going to do the best job they can. They believe in what they do. They're doing this for all the right reasons. It's up to you to decide. Right, Joshua?
Absolutely. And Scott, if you don't mind, you know, you mentioned a few times, can these women actually teach, or are these just bimbos that are just getting naked on camera and calling it education? Would you mind if I kind of speak on that on my side of it? I don't know how many people out there actually know, you know, what they're getting into when they go to watch these kinds of women teaching this information. I kind of like to clear the path and give everybody some fresh perspective, if you don't mind.
Not only do I not mind, that's what this podcast is all about, and I think that's the perfect way to start, so go for it.
All right, fantastic. So when most people think about a porn star, you know, I've heard a stand-up comic make the joke that thank God emotional scars aren't visible because porn would be unwatchable. They think of these broken women with daddy issues and this and that who've got implants. They're just a meat sleeve for guys. And in a lot of ways, there are those women out there, absolutely. There's a lot of women that go out to LA, to the Valley out there, and we'll get into it, and they really are broken people. They have drug problems. It's, you know, the stereotype is there for a reason. These women are not around for very long. I think the average lifespan for that career is under 6 months. So whatever they do with it afterwards, they're in, they're out. Then you see women that stick around for a long time and end up making a career for themselves. You know, you think of your Sasha Grays, your Jenna Jamesons, those women. And then you find out, wait, these women are actually really smart and they've built huge empires and businesses for themselves. Truth of the matter is, a lot of those women are very smart businesswomen. They're educated. They've gone to school. They are very sexually hyperactive, have no problem having sex on camera. And to them, it's a job. It's work. They know that they're going to make much more money doing this than they would at an office job. Now, at a higher level than that are women that I prefer to work with pretty much exclusively. These are women that actually go to school and get incredible educations in this, and a lot of times teach this as educators, maybe on a much smaller scale. I worked with a woman my very first program. Actually, I worked with three amazing women on that one. Ryan Keeley, who was the editor of the Penthouse Forums, the host of Playboy Radio, Hustler and Penthouse's in-house couple sex educator for a number of years. She was also a licensed sex educator and was brilliant at that. Jade Vixen had a triple master's degree in human biology, physiology, and human sexuality, and had been teaching this stuff for years. Justine Jolie, who was known as the best female partner for other women in all of lesbian porn. She was able to make women orgasm faster and more creatively and more intensely than any other person that they ever found. I created a program about a year or so ago called Erotic Touch Secrets, which was designed for couples to give each other sensual and erotic massages. And I flew in two women that had not really worked too much in the adult world. They worked in Penthouse and a little bit of nude modeling and stuff, but they were both licensed massage therapists and did this a lot of times in their personal relationships, so they knew exactly what they were doing. And then I already went over the qualifications of Lexi Love and Alexa Ames in squirting orgasms on command. I do a lot of research before I even reach out to try and discuss a project with them. And from what I found, they are absolutely the smartest and most qualified teachers of this stuff on the planet. There's a lot of people that may have a bigger name in the industry and more fans and more followers and stuff, but if they don't know what they're talking about, they're absolutely no use to me. You know, when I started the business back in 2009, when I went into it, I was, you know, like most guys, I was basically saying, sure, there's a few things I'd like to learn and get better at, but for the most part, I think I know what I'm doing. Let me just tell you, just an hour or so sitting around talking with a lot of these women, I realized I was way outclassed. I'm putting in a lot of effort and I want to hire the best because I want to make sure you're getting the best education possible.
You know, I think it might be very surprising to a lot of the guys listening that you're essentially agreeing that most women who are porn stars are going to be useless to you in teaching anything real and legitimate about how to have better sex.
Absolutely.
What you're basically saying is not all porn princesses are created equal. There are some women out there who make an effort to become good teachers at this, and they happen to do adult videos also and be in that line of business. And therefore, in that case, in those specific cases, makes for a perfect fit. So I think that's intriguing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been boxing my entire life, and a lot of the gyms that I've worked out and trained in, you know, a lot of the trainers there, I'll see that when they're working with their clients, they're basically just telling them, breathe. Okay. Come on, you got three more reps, and that's it. And they just say stupid stuff like that. You could have a chimp teach that. Then there's people that work with the guys like Mike Tyson and the Klitschko brothers, and these guys are just at another level. There's a reason that, you know, not all trainers are created equal. plain and simple. To me, it's doing everybody a complete disservice if I don't fight to bring you the best trainers in the world. To produce these programs, it will cost me the exact same amount. To purchase them, it'll cost you the exact same amount. Why would I not put in the effort to give you the best training? Honestly, I, from a business standpoint, I wouldn't have a business right now if I didn't believe in that and did not fight for that 100% of the way.
I think there's another point of interest here that we've got to go ahead and cover. And that's the whole idea of porn sex itself. I think the disconnect a lot of guys may have, and I'm going to admit, me also, I'm raising my hand, is that, all right, look, porn is people acting. This isn't people having real sex because they love each other or they care about each other or anything that has to do allegedly with real human emotion. At least that's what we're told. That's what we're taught. That's what we're expecting to see on camera is basically two people, animal, gorilla screwing each other on camera.
Right.
Anybody who has actually gotten past ignorant, judgmental thought process on this enough to go actually look at porn realizes very quickly it's not just a bunch of guys physically abusing women, you know, until their mascara runs. It's not all midget porn and donkey porn. There are actually lots and lots of scenes with very attractive girl next door type of women, not necessarily floozies who look like sluts, but women who actually look like women you went to school or college with or may even be married to. And they're enjoying the sex, at least apparently. You know, the actors are kissing each other and it looks and seems more like real sex. And that kind of porn seems to be very popular on the sites that have the highest Alexa ranks of all porn sites. And by the way, guys, if you don't realize how many people consume porn, start looking at the Alexa rankings, which is the most popular, most traveled websites in the entire world. And you're going to see like 10 major porn sites in the top 100 websites in the world.
You show me anybody that claims that they don't watch porn, I'll show you a liar.
Right. And that goes even for women.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, come on. I mean, how do these women all know they're supposed to shave their pies and put a little racing stripe there? And, you know, they're doing what porn stars are doing and they learn how to do it somewhere.
Absolutely. The category that you're talking about that seems more natural and real, that's known as a category called female friendly. That basically was started by a woman based here in New York, and she wanted to create sex videos mirroring the sex that she was having with her boyfriend at the time and stuff that women would want because she was had worked in the industry for a while and was tired of it being all about the exact same stuff and would go home with different guys and they would try out terrible things that they saw in the movies and they didn't work, they didn't feel good. And her mission was basically to change that. And she shot it in a way that was almost more welcoming and warm and open to women. It was almost like if you see a late night Skinamax, how it's more sensual. You know, that's entirely different than the really rough stuff where the guy is basically just thrashing away at the woman until her face is red, her mascara is running, like you were saying. The women that are in those scenes, I know a number of them personally, that's the kind of sex that they like in their personal lives. That's a very rare kind of woman to like it that rough. And it's not saying that there's anything psychologically wrong with her. She's just, that's just her preference. And so even when you think that she's not enjoying it, a lot of times they're enjoying that more than just the traditional scene where the guy comes over to fix the pool or deliver the pizza. And, you know, there's a cliche that they have in porn that says, if it feels good, it doesn't look good on camera and vice versa. A lot of the positions that they're going to be using, they use it because the camera wants to show everything. They want to try to get everything from every angle all the time. And the way that the woman's body works is the guy's entering her at an angle that's just not going to be stimulating anything that feels good. You know, maybe she's in the pile driver pose where essentially she's resting on the back of her head and neck, hanging upside down. He's thrusting down from up above her. That's not comfortable. And she has to stay in that position for 7 to 9 minutes. Blood's rushing to her head. It's not comfortable. So it's absolutely totally different than the sex that they're having in their personal lives.
Now, I'm going to contrast what you just said with the reality in my life that I realize the fact that there are women who, when you have sex with them, and you do it effectively and you're doing it skillfully, they will be a lot like porn actresses in bed with you. They'll scream and they'll be dirty and they'll talk about all kinds of crazy, preposterous things. And they'll want it doggy style and they'll want to be twisted into pretzels and they'll go down on you and swallow it and ask for it to be spewed in their face and all those things we love to watch.
Oh, sure. I was speaking more generally about the rules, not the exceptions. Those women are out there, and a lot of times women will be more open to it if you take responsibility, which is kind of an obscure idea, but...
Yeah, what do you mean by responsibility?
Sure. So women are taught from a very young age that, you know, having sex with a lot of guys is bad. Maybe she doesn't want her friends thinking that she's a slut. You know, there's that whole stereotype of guys hook up a lot, they're a stud, girls do it, they're a slut. And so they don't want to be in a place where people can think about them in a bad way, or she can be essentially given a scarlet letter, be thought of as a slut, a whore, get less respect. So when you, as a guy, are the one to take control, you're essentially telling her what you're going to do. You're taking full control and full responsibility for what's happening that night. When she feels that whatever happens, I'm not responsible for it because he's taking the responsibility, she's going to be a lot more open to letting her freak flag fly.
Yeah, and implicit there also is that you're not slut-shaming her. You're validating her sexuality, which of course you see a lot in porn as guys are like, hey, this woman's great. She likes to have lots of sex. You know, I think they go out of their way in porn to make sure that the women seem desirable and high quality, unless, of course, the porn is specifically of the ilk that it's shaming the woman. And I think there's an audience for that, too. And that's what the feminists hate the most. But I think ultimately, one of the things you said before needs to be underscored, and that's a lot of these women do make a conscious choice to be in porn because they like sex. They like to show off. They like to be on camera. Not all of them are sex slaves who are being trafficked, or some other word that's popular to use in that context nowadays. Although there are women who are grossly taken advantage of, and there is criminal activity and incredible injustice going on out there at the hands of some bad guys and bad people in general that are damaging and victimizing both men and women and children. There are absolutely women out there who really love doing this, have made a conscious choice, and can't wait to do more of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're the best porn actresses, frankly.
A lot of them are great. You know, I'm very good personal friends with a young lady named Belle Knox, who is very famous right now. She was a girl. She was at Duke University and shot a couple of scenes to help pay her $60,000 a year tuition bill. And some dude who is in a frat that she's, you know, kind of friendly with, realized that that's her, and he ousted her to everybody. And all of a sudden, she was getting in trouble for shooting porn. And she said, well, guys, I'm at the second best pre-law school in the country. I want to be a women's rights activist attorney. I'm a very hypersexual person. And honestly, if I'm going to get fucked for $250,000 tuition over the course of my 4 years, I might as well enjoy the fucking, I think were her exact words. And she was in for some work, some promotional stuff a couple weeks ago. And we were hanging out, having some iced tea on my building's roof. And we were talking about all this stuff. And she said, you know, essentially being in the adult world right now and getting all the exposure that she has and being as popular as she has really opened her eyes. And she wants to still be a women's rights attorney. But more than anything else right now, she wants to be a women's rights attorney in the adult world, because there are tons and tons of directors and producers and whoever else taking advantage of these broken girls. And a lot of them, they may be in their mid-20s, they may have this perfect body, but mentally they're still little children. They get taken advantage of all the time, and that's why they don't stay in the industry more than a few months. And as much as she's enjoying it, you know, and she's very smart, and she's got her great agent who I know for very well, and she's got a great manager, and she's got a great team of attorneys to protect her, not every person does. So for her to say, I'm not going to leave the industry because I'm enjoying it and it pays well and stuff, I'm now going to pass that bar exam and I'm going to use my legal degree to help the women here that need it, I think that that's very commendable.
Yeah, I don't think you want to be Pollyanna-ish about this either. I mean, there are women who are getting taken advantage of in porn, for sure.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit of both. You know, there's women who are doing this the right way in their own estimation and women who are getting taken advantage of.
Absolutely.
You know, at this point, Josh, I think I've got to ask you the question that guys are going to come burn my house down if I don't ask. They're screaming at their iPods right now going, McKay, ask this question. How in the world did you get so connected with all of these people? I mean, you said you started in 2009. Now you know everybody you need to know, and you're personal friends with all of them.
Yeah, so basically, I was working in a corporate real estate firm. 2007, I started there, and you know, the economy collapsed. It's the worst economy since the Depression. And
this was in New York City.
Yeah, this was New York City, and I'm putting in 15-hour days, 7 days a week. I was miserable. I realized one day I woke up and I hit my alarm to turn it off, and I opened up my nightstand, and there was a little bottle of Jack Daniels, and I took a swig of it before my feet hit the floor, before I even turned the light on. And I realized that was really unhealthy, and I was not in a good place. And I went into work that day, and I'd been working on this one deal for about a year and a half, and I went to turn in, you know, the final paperwork and stuff and get my commission check, and the firms told me that they were just not going to pay me, that they essentially had found a legal loophole to steal my money, and that was it. I threw all these other contracts that I had that would have brought in some pretty big deals. I put all those in the paper shredder, and I stormed out. And I spent, you know, the next couple of weeks or so just kind of on my couch recovering from a year and a half of nonstop work. I was beyond burnt out. And a good buddy of mine who works in TV and film called me up and said that he was working with AskMen.com for this project, which I don't even think got totally finished and ever done, where essentially they were going around to all 50 states and interviewing different women in each of them about what they like and don't like in men and in bed and stuff. And he said, you know, I can pay you for a day work where you work as a camera operator. The whole thing is stationary, so you don't even have to touch the camera. You just have to stand near it. And, you know, you'll make $200 or so. So I said, all right, cool, thanks. So I went to that, and the woman who they were interviewing was, I mentioned her before, is Ryan Keeley, you know, this sex educator for Playboy and Penthouse and Hustler, and she was a porn star at the time, and she was absolutely brilliant, as you expect. Like, I was blown away by that. And, you know, it was a long day, so after we were done shooting, it was kind of late, we all needed a drink, so we went to this bar right near where we were shooting, and we're sitting there talking for hours and hours, and she told me that she absolutely loved teaching this stuff and that was her passion, but she only ever gets to really work with one couple or so at a time because that was Hustler and Penthouse's policy. And it just sucks because she wants to do it, but there's no way to really grow that and expand on it working one person at a time. So I said, well, why don't we turn this into a workshop? We'll do it live. You'll get some friends. We'll put it on stage and we'll see what happens. And within a couple of days, we had sold out all the seats of this workshop, and New York Times is there, and Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony, and the New York Post, and the Daily News, and Wired Magazine, and all of these journalists got wind of it. And so we did a second and a third workshop, and it started to
get, rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, it got really well known. So I brought in my friend's film crew, and we shot it, and we put it online. And it's grown since then. And it was great to be a pioneer of this sort of thing. This is something that hasn't really been done before, at least not very much or very well. We were realizing that this is a real need that men and women and couples all over the place just, they didn't even realize that how helpful it would be or that they needed it. So it's been great getting to do that. And as I've been working at it and continuing to grow it, my reputation got very, very good for doing this. So a lot of the times I would get approached by the people in the industry themselves, or if there's somebody that I need to reach, I know I can get to them through one email. And now, you know, it's 2014, it's 5 years after I started. At this point now, I know I've just gotten to know a lot of the people in the industry and made a lot of friends from it. It's been awesome. And I know I can, if there's somebody in particular that I want to work with who specializes in something or other, I know that I can reach out to them, and usually within one phone call or email, get a response. And, you know, a lot of the times when working together, we're there for a couple of weeks at a time, morning and night, and just become really close with the people.
When guys watch porn, what are some of the bad habits guys are learning from watching porn, thinking that's the instruction that they should be getting relative to maybe getting your program and learning from a porn actress how to do it the right way? What are some of the bad habits, the bad teaching that is going to be indirectly absorbed by guys who are consuming porn?
Geez, there's a lot. Number one, let's say, we'll start off here. Guys, a lot of times in porn, you'll see they take their penis and they slap it against the woman's vagina and clitoris. And more times than not, when they do that in porn, it's for the camera. And it's also, if he feels himself starting to get a little bit soft, that little bit of extra stimulation sets something off in his brain that can help him to stay hard. Now, most women don't really enjoy that. It's a weird, obscure thing that is not really normal. And, you know, unless you know that your girl actually does enjoy it, that's something that most are turned off by because they see it in porn and they realize, oh, this guy watches a lot of porn. Another one is what's known as the over-under doggy. And that is when you're in doggy style position with a girl in porn, he's usually hovering above her and kind of squats down. And all you really ever see is ass crack and nutsack. The camera guy's right underneath him, and it's really just to show the penetration. It's not feeling good to her at all. It's just hitting her in a place that her body does not like. There's no erogenous zones in there. There's no areas that could cause her to have an orgasm there. And it feels painful a lot of times to women. So that's another really bad practice. Choking women. I know a lot of women who really do like it. But if a girl likes it or not, she's usually going to be the one to say it or indicate in some way that she likes to be a little rougher. And I've gotten emails and stuff from guys, and they say, yeah, I met this girl last night. It was great. We went home. But when I started choking her, she freaked out. Well, yeah, no shit. You just met her, and now she thinks you're a serial killer.
Right. I think anything that involves like hair pulling, choking, scratching, fingernails, anything like that, you know, she'll tell you if she's into it. Don't just kind of spring it on her. Yeah, and along those same lines, I think at the more basic level, guys could very easily watch porn and think women, you know, you just dive deep right into them from the get-go. Guys, if you do that, you're going to injure a chick. I mean, you can't just, especially if you're kind of large, you can't just spread her legs, get inside her, and just penetrate. You know, most women, you're going to have to kind of ease your way in there. But that doesn't make for a good porn, I'm sure, which is why we just see guys sort of spread them open and get in there and start pounding away. I think that could be a bad habit guys might learn.
Yeah, and the next one I was going to talk about is, you know, in porn all the time, you see the guy when he's ready to finish, he finishes all over her face and chest.
Yep.
Now, when you're really getting into it and it's hot and steamy, sure, she may say finish wherever you want. The minute it touches her face with a lot of women, they regret it. And that's not all, but that's a lot. You know, I always find it best to say, I'm going to come, or I'm going to finish. Where do you want it? She may just say, just not on me. I don't want it on me or something. You know, if you're wearing a condom, that's usually not a big deal or anything. Keep a couple of tissues or so under your pillow. If she doesn't like you finishing on her, finish in the tissues. But immediately going for her face and chest, unless she's one of those girls that actually really likes it, assume that she probably doesn't. So
yeah, it's really hard to get out of hair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any guy who's ever jacked off in the shower and realized how hard it is to get that stuff down the drain knows exactly what we're talking about. Women have to deal with that in the hair and in the face.
Well, that's actually kind of funny. They've found a lot of studies and stuff have shown that college campuses, one of the biggest bills that they have is the plumbing, because so many guys jack off in the showers and it doesn't all go down the drain. And a lot of the time it will crystallize and will start to form a buildup and it will clog the drain.
I mean, even when it's fresh, it's kind of this slippery, sticky consistency, you know, by biological design. I mean, that helps pregnancy, I'm sure. But man, it just makes for a really awkward mess to clean up. And yeah, a lot of women don't like it on them. Some women will tell you, hey, come here, come on my chest or come on my butt or whatever. And they'll tell you because they know it's literally coming and that they have to tell you something. And that's great. I love when women do right. That. Good for
them. The best thing that you can have, which might sound a little bit weird, but keep a box of baby wipes in your nightstand or a bunch of those moist towelettes you always get at barbecue places. That will really clean her off better than any tissue will.
About $5 for 100 of them. Rapid fire. Some other things that guys are probably getting bad messages about in porn.
Anal sex.
Yeah, absolutely. You and I said the same thing. You can't just open her up and pile drive. Most women are a lot more tentative about anal sex. So anytime you see anal scenes, realize that a lot went into that. Probably enemas, her not eating for 24 hours. Cleaning herself out. And
yeah, if you knew what happens before 12 to 24 hours beforehand, it's not sexy at all. Things like strawberries that have tons of little seeds, you don't want. Spicy foods, if you guys went out to dinner, had, let's say Indian or Mexican or something that's traditionally spicy, it's not going to be pleasant for her. you know, there's always going to be, for lack of a better term, expect that there are some bears in the cave, we'll say.
You know, I had a guy who was very rough around the edges one time tell me a pretty raw story about anal sex. And he said he stuck it in there, he pulled it out, there was a piece of corn on the end of his unit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's apocryphal or not, but I just laughed so hard.
Oh, yeah. No,
I couldn't hold myself back.
Just know that it's going to get messy. Expect it. It happens. Low lights and baby wipes. If you are adverse to any of that mess, then maybe it's not for you.
Right. Exactly. The other thing is the whole ass-to-mouth thing, which is popular in porn. Don't try that
never.
At home.
It's,
you'll kill somebody.
You are spreading infections a lot, ass to vagina. Again, she's going to get a lot of infections like that very easily. You can go either mouth or vagina to ass, but then once you're at the butt, you stay there.
Right, exactly. Other things would be the dirty talk that you hear in porn. To me, you know, Joshua, it seems so generic. It seems like they all say the same thing. There's not a whole lot of creativity in that. And most guys surveyed don't want the male actor to say anything. Mm-hmm. Well, in real sex, you want to say lots. You want to talk to her. You want to use dirty talk. We cover that in my program, and I'm sure you cover it in yours also.
Sure.
You know, the way people communicate when they have sex should be a lot different in real life than it is in porn also.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in my personal life, I know the women that I'm with really enjoy when I'll tell them something like, oh my God, you feel so tight. I love how wet you are. Your pussy feels absolutely perfect around me.
Sure.
That's a whole different thing than you're going to hear in porn.
Yeah. And the other thing is the whole skin on skin intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
In porn, it looks better when you can see everything and see all of her body parts. So he's kind of splaying her open and drilling her kind of like at the side. You know, I think you talked about that. You know, wrapping up a woman, scooping her up under her shoulders and just letting her wrap her arms around you and you just getting inside her and hold her and kiss her passionately makes for terrible porn because you can't see anything.
Right.
But if you're not touching her and you're not achieving a closeness with her physically, like skin on skin touching, then you're not going to get a good reaction from her. She's not going to think you're a very good lover.
Absolutely. And for women, it's, you know, having sex is very much about forming a tighter, more intimate, more connected bond with your partner. Even if it's a one-night stand, it's about forming some kind of connection. And so the more pulled away you are while you're having sex, the less of a connection. If you have more kissing and closer and maybe you're, let's say, in missionary, but your chests are touching each other, your arms are wrapped around each other, that's a much more intimate thing. And women enjoy that a lot more because you're really giving her a lot more of what she wants at that time.
Now, on the other side of the coin, what should guys look at and pay attention to when they're watching porn that they may be able to learn from?
Sure. Especially if you're watching girl on girl, oral sex techniques. Women know what feels best to them, obviously, because they have the matching parts. You know, a lot of times, just so the camera can see everything, their faces are going to be off to the side and they're going to be making their tongue as long and pointy as possible simply so that the camera can show everything. But you'll know it as soon as you see it. There's women who get really into it and know what they're doing and they're still able to show what they're doing on camera, but actually using the oral sex techniques that feel great to other women in their everyday life. That's something you should definitely pay attention to. Fingering is another thing. Watch solo women masturbation videos if your partner will let you watch her masturbate. She's touching herself how she wants to be touched, what feels good to her to get her a climax. Copy those techniques, the spelling out the alphabet with your tongue and, you know, finger banging her like a machine gun. The stuff may have been cute in high school, but those techniques do not work. Really, if you want to see and know what feels best for her, watch how she touches herself. A lot of times when you see the female-friendly porn, especially girl on girl, the way that they are touching each other is how they like to be touched off-screen. It's the stuff that actually makes them orgasm and feels best to them. And you're going to find that a lot of the times, the stuff that they're doing in that kind of porn, it's going to be very much the same from one video to the next, for the reason that that is what those women, not just those women, that is what most women usually like, especially when it comes to stuff like foreplay where you're still trying to get them warmed up. So it's not a bad idea to spend a little bit of time, even if that's not your particular genre that you like to get off to, that's fine. Spend a little time to educate yourself and try using some of those techniques that you learned from that stuff on your partner the next time you guys are together, and you're going to notice a very, very immediate response.
Look for the patterns that you see repeated between different women.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, women giving men oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can perhaps learn some ways that women can be creative. And if a woman ever says to you, oh, I'm not really sure I'm good at this, or I don't know how to do this real well, sometimes women will actually ask you to help them, and you'll have a much better idea of what's going to work a lot better and what would turn you on because you've seen it before. It's just a matter of fact.
Of course, of course. Actually, my program, World's Best Head, was designed for this alone. What you see women do in the porn where they're deep throating like it's nothing and they're, you know, slapping themselves all over the face with it. That's not what the average woman's going to do. Most of the time, a guy is just so thrilled that a girl is going down on him that even if this technique doesn't feel great, he's not really going to say anything. If, you know, the woman needs a lot of encouragement, needs to be told what she's doing is either good or how to kind of correct her technique. And if she's not getting that encouragement, she's going to assume she's not good at it and it becomes a chore and no one wants to do something they don't like. So the program was designed so that women can watch and learn techniques that feel better, but also so that you can help to train your partner on what feels better, on how to do the techniques that feel the best to you, so that she gets more excited because she's going to get a lot of pleasure knowing she's providing you with this pleasure. I recently kind of retooled the whole program from the ground up using Alexa Ames as the instructor because she really is honestly probably the best at giving oral sex on the planet. And so a lot of the stuff that she did was just light years beyond what we had had before. So we're launching World's Best Head version 2 in a few weeks. I'm very excited for that. A lot of the women that I know that have seen it, I asked a lot of my female friends if they wouldn't mind giving it a watch to see what they like. And the response universally was, my boyfriend or my husband or, you know, the guy I'm hooking up with is your biggest fan. He absolutely loves you. Holy crap. Where has this thing been forever?
Yeah, that's a heck of a testimonial.
Yeah.
You know, while you were talking about that, another pitfall came to mind, if we can go back to that just briefly. Porn is only going to show you what you can see and hear. It isn't about what you feel, because you can't feel what they're feeling. So when it comes to things like oral sex, I mean, one of the most amazing techniques that a woman can learn is if she's going to swallow your ejaculate, to learn that men kind of ejaculate rhythmically and she can kind of suck in with your rhythm, and that's unbelievably pleasurable. And virtually no women know how to do that. So when one does, she can become like your best buddy who you're addicted to very quickly, you know?
Yeah.
And you're not going to see that happen in porn, at least not easily. I mean, if a woman says she's doing it or she really exaggerates the move or whatever, perhaps. But it's important to realize that you're not going to learn anything about what feels good to you by watching or listening to porn. That's very important. But one other thing I do want to get to in terms of something that's pretty good about porn that you can learn about, which almost is too obvious, is you can learn what certain women look like naked based on a comparison to how they look like with clothes on.
Absolutely.
And that's a good skill to have, because then you can really evaluate women in the real world based on how they look, knowing whether you're going to like what they look like naked and what your true type is relative to all that. Because a lot of times women look differently than you expect they will naked as opposed to clothed. Obviously, she's in a bikini. It's pretty much WYSIWYG.
Right.
But that's surprising to a lot of guys. Like, a lot of skinny women actually look curvier and more healthy than you think they're going to once they get their clothes off based on their body type. And a lot of women who may look fat in clothing are just glorious when you get them naked. And I think porn helps you sort all that out relative to how women look being naked and having clothes on, especially if you go to the sites where women get undressed instead of where women are already naked, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you are looking at what is most traditional porn, where it's a woman who has this insane body, that these big fake tits and all of this, she's put a lot of time and effort at the gym and at the plastic surgeons, and she is to start out with wearing stuff that's going to highlight that, whether it be like an incredibly tight dress or whatever it is. Well, that's not usually the most common stuff that you see. Depending on where you live, you may never see that. I would go with the women that are not totally made up in plastic. The girl next door types, the average looking woman stuff. And a lot of times you're going to see that those videos will start off, especially the ones that are made to look like the guy just picked her up on the street and brings her into the back of his van. And, you know, that's all fake and whatnot. But a lot of times, though, to help get off the idea that those are real and it's a real pickup, they're going to use a woman that's dressed in normal, everyday streetwear. And so just seeing how even like her t-shirt and jean shorts accentuates her body before and after her clothes come off, that's going to really give you a great idea how to calibrate what a woman, you know, looks like when you're talking to her at the bar or wherever it is.
Yeah, it's like window shopping. It's a useful skill. It really, really is.
Oh, absolutely.
The last thing I want to talk about before we close, because I think a lot of guys really fantasize about this, is threesomes. Mm-hmm. And obviously threesomes in porn are very popular. Threesomes may not play out in real life the way you're going to expect them to if you've just watched a lot of porn. I mean, the one thing that comes to mind for me is, okay, you've got these two women naked in your bed. There are going to be jealousy, personality issues if you show too much attention to one and not the other. And that's almost inevitable in a way that one of these women is going to be sexier to you than the other. I've even heard about situations, let's say, with guys, you know, they're with a woman and she brought a friend with her and the friend kind of didn't really do anything for him, but he went along with it anyway. And it kind of got ugly and the woman felt slighted. And, you know, there she was naked and had bared her soul and everything else for him and, you know, felt stupid and insulted afterwards. Plus, there's the management aspect of it. I mean, how do you pleasure two women at the same time? How do you choreograph it? How do you do all of those things that are going to make a threesome pleasurable? It's not necessarily going to go the way it goes in porn, not only because of the choreography involved and the action involved, but because there's no emotional mess. There's no emotional melee that's going to come out of a porn scene, and the women are carefully selected, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They are very open to it. The women that you see in porn, outside of that, they have incredibly open, wild sex lives for the most part. The entire industry, basically, you know, I'm not going to say everyone, but 95% of the entire industry is sleeping around with each other openly on a daily basis. Like, so they're in a totally different world than most people. So if you're with a long-term partner and you decide you're going to try a threesome, especially if you haven't done it before, the stuff you need to really know is, just like the guy that had the hall pass, you go up to some woman that you meet randomly and it's going to be very difficult because you're putting her in an awkward place because you're just using her for your fun. Inviting a friend over, someone that you have a relationship with to join in, that's going to put a rift in the relationship that you're currently in. Since this is someone that you interact with on a regular basis, you already have some sort of feelings for them, whether it's just friendship feelings that turn into a little crush or you think they're attractive, whatever it is, crossing a line and having sex is going to bring those emotions up to a new level. So you got to be really careful when selecting the right partner. Jealousy issues will come up. Now, your girlfriend, your wife, let's just assume that this is a two female and one male threesome. Your girlfriend, your wife will know to some extent that you're seeing this other person for the first time. You're touching them. It's a new experience. You're going to want to enjoy that a little bit. That's fine. Split your time 70-30 or 60-40 in favor of your partner. The minute that they feel that you like the other person more, women are incredibly self-conscious and she's going to get really, really upset. Oh my God, he likes her more than me. He thinks that she's sexier than me, that she's better looking, that she feels better than me. And now I just opened up this can of worms and right, she's going to think the relationship is going to blah, blah, blah. For her sake, spend the majority of the time focusing on her. Now, right, to manage the actual act of it the whole time and not finish too soon and being able to take care of them, there's nothing wrong, and it's actually really sexy and hot to a lot of women when you tell them that you're enjoying watching them pleasure each other, you know, while one's going down on the other or whatever they're doing, kiss one on the back of the neck, on the lips. You don't have to be penetrating them both at the same time. If you do, you're probably going to finish very soon and they may not fully get satisfied from it. So have no problem taking a step back and letting them put a little show on for you. It'll help it to last longer. It's sexy. It's hot. If your partner was a little self-conscious going in and you're focusing most of your attention on her and she sees that you're liking her touching this new woman, the jealousy is going to go down a lot more. Basically, she's going to be open to doing it again and again and again. And isn't that the point of trying a threesome in the first place, getting to do it more?
Yeah, I like what you said about the whole 60-40, 70-30 thing, because in porn, it's going to be 50-50 almost every time. The other thing I think is probably good about watching threesomes in porn is you can kind of get an idea of how to lead and how to choreograph.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, people are going to be clumsy. You know, what you see in porn, they usually will have a producer telling them, okay, move from this position to this one, and then they just do a little dissolve cut so it looks seamless. People are a little clumsy. You know, you may, your woman might be trying to sit up, and your hand could be on her hair, and it tugs her hair, elbow goes in a weird place, whatever it is. That's normal. So the more you try to, like, completely dive into it head first, the more you're going to be risking bumping into somebody in a way where, you know, you don't really want to. So by taking a little bit of a step back and letting them kind of control a lot of the action, everything's just going to go a lot smoother.
Porn isn't going to show you how to handle mishaps or awkward moments. That's all edited out.
Right.
That's not good for entertainment. But in real world sex, I mean, every guy's had the situation where all of a sudden his penis comes out and you kind of jabber instead of penetrating her.
Right.
You know, that stuff happens. She's going to forgive you for it. Having to tell each other what's going to feel better and changing position, saying, you know, that's not working for me. That's all edited out of porn, but that's part of normal human sex. So, you know, it's easy to get a real complex, which is a bad thing, of course, if something happens that's imperfect during sexual intercourse, because we've seen so much porn, we're thinking this always goes perfect for everybody else all the time.
Oh, of course.
Not true.
And it goes back to what I was saying before about taking responsibility and taking control. If you tell her, I want to lay back, I want you to ride me in cowgirl, and you, I want you to get behind her and play with her breasts. Now you know where you're going. Everyone kind of has their role, and you've taken the responsibility of it, which, again, as we were saying before, that's going to just help increase the likelihood of this happening again in the future. She's going to find it sexy that you're taking control.
Perhaps ironically to some guys, women will appreciate that leadership.
Absolutely.
The other thing that we would be remiss if we didn't mention is obviously birth control.
Yes.
Most porn, you know, you're seeing skin on skin, no condoms. You have no idea if she's on birth control or whatever. They never talk about it. They just have the sex and it's unprotected. Obviously, guys, you want to wrap that rascal. Maybe you can comment on that. How do these people have unprotected sex so much and not end up with diseases? Or do they? Or is it that they're tested so thoroughly and rigorously so often and having sex with only the same people that their risk is minimized? How does that work?
Sure. So up until a few years ago, there was a facility called AIM, Adult Industry Medical, which was the best, highest quality testing facility on the planet. They would basically go back up to 6 months and it would show a day-by-day breakdown of what happened. So if you found that you contracted something, it could say, oh, on this exact day is when you contracted it. And then you would be able to go back and say, okay, so this person gave it to me. AIM lost its funding. It's not really there. What they're doing now, which they've kind of always done, was 1 to 2 weeks prior to any shoot that you get booked for, you have to go and get tested and you have to send them the test results right away and then bring a copy of them with you when you go. The most common things are yeast infections for women, UTIs. Those happen all the time. A lot of STDs and STIs can be treated with antibiotics. So they do happen a lot. And what happens is when a person is unable to perform because they have something, you know, even when they're still on antibiotics, they might get replaced for that scene. So it does happen a lot. Women are, for the most part, all of them on birth control pills. If I'm spending time with someone who works in the adult industry, more times than not, they're going to keep a copy of their papers in their purse. And to them, it's almost a compliment to ask, can I see your papers? Because then they know that you're taking your safety seriously, which means she's going to be safer. That's not really for everybody, of course. It's weird. It's inconvenient. It's not a normal thing for most people, but it is important to get tested very frequently. If you are somebody that's with a lot of different women all the time, you have no problem going to a bar and, you know, picking up a different woman every night of the week, getting tested after each new partner is probably not going to be right for you because they're going to draw blood and you're going to have track marks on your arm. You're going to look like a heroin addict. So maybe you limit it to once a month. If you're somebody that is with a handful of women a year, if you're dating and you know it's leading up to sex, get tested, you know, a week or so before then. Get tested after you've gone your separate way with this woman. Even if you guys are together for a couple of months and she's monogamous, you, she could be a carrier of something and not have any symptoms. So it is very important to do that. And like I said, in porn, they do contract stuff and they'll get replaced if they're not able to perform.
Thanks for sharing all that. This has been a fascinating conversation. Unfortunately, we've got to bring it to an end because we've gone way over. I've been talking to my good friend Joshua Rose from New York City. If you want to check out his new program, Squirting Orgasm on Command, like I said before, I've set up a special URL. That's www.thechickwhisperer.com/squirt, S-Q-U-I-R-T. I would strongly encourage you to go ahead and take a look at that site and decide for yourself what you think. And if you get in on that program, obviously you're going to be able to give women squirting orgasms better than any guy she's ever met in her entire life, because you will be learning from women who are experts at having squirting orgasms, and they are dedicated to showing you how.
Absolutely. You know, our whole motto since day one was we want to make the world a better place one orgasm at a time. Nice. This is the absolute most powerful kind of orgasm a woman can have. So why not give her the pleasure that no other man has?
I also want to remind you guys that if you're not on my newsletter yet, here's what you should do. You should go to www.thechickwhisperer.com and get signed up, because I send valuable, useful, practical content that you can actually use today to get better with women every time I send a newsletter out. I also want to remind you that I've got a brand new book on Amazon called What Works with Women. It was a number one bestseller already. And you can check that out by going to www.whatworkswithwomen.com. There's a free special report for you there. And get yourself that book. It only costs you about as much as a coffee at Starbucks. This has been episode number 63 of the Chick Whisperer podcast. Until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from XY Communications. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by XY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.